The car barreled toward the two of us across the asphalt river, its grill growing impossibly large and mouth-like as it approached. The driver was fixated on Jenny, a man obsessed. I doubt he ever saw me. The chair skipped off the curb and into the street, knocking my feet off the footrest. I pitched forward, almost dumping out of the seat and crashing face first into the pavement before catching hold of the armrests and pushing myself upright. I reached her an instant before he did, still half unbalanced, and gave her a brutal shove with one arm. The briefest thought, not, "This is going to hurt like hell," or "God, please help me," but, "I wonder if this is who she's been running from," flitted through my mind. Then the car slammed into my lower legs and drove me toward the edge of the road. But not before I saw Jenny falling to her hands and knees on the asphalt, safely out of its way. The rear wheels of my chair crumpled when I hit the curb, and the chair itself disintegrated, almost exploded, in a jangling, discordant symphony under me. To this day, I can remember the sparkling bits of titanium spinning slowly through the air around me, like tiny satellites circling a celestial body. I fell backwards toward the sidewalk and tried to throw myself out of the way, but didn't make it because I couldn't use my legs for leverage to push off. My face cracked into the curbside, and I caught a glimpse of splintered teeth skittering away like shards of porcelain before the momentum spun me onto my back. The car chewed through the remains of my chair, grinding them into a twisted metal jumble. Then it roared over me. The car bore me across the concrete walkway, rolling me like the world's largest tumbleweed while I snapped and crackled and popped my way over to the grass, where it finally released me and passed from my sight. An instant later, over the pounding of the blood in my ears, I heard a tremendous crash. It sounded like he piled up against one of the trees, maybe even the same one I'd been sitting under just a few seconds before. I wanted to turn and look, but try as I might, my head remained motionless. Every nerve was misfiring, all jammed up in a state of overload as they tried to cope with what had happened. I could do nothing more than stare up into the heavens. The sun blazed as crimson as one of St. John's visions from the Book of Revelation. I prayed that the man in the car had been incapacitated in his crash, even though I knew the prayer was in vain. But I still hoped he was now bleeding out over there, and preferably in agonizing pain. Was that evil of me? Perhaps. The Bible says we shouldn't repay evil with evil, but it also says we all fall short of what God wants. After what the Mustang driver had just tried to do to Jenny, and to a lesser extent what he'd actually done to me, I didn't mind falling a little short right then. I wanted him to suffer. What could she have ever done to him to cause him to snap like that? A silhouette moved in front of the sun, a dark outline with soft curves, limned in the brightest white I'd ever seen. Jenny, my angel. She knelt down next to me. I saw tears shimmering in her eyes, tiny diamonds. "Oh, Dan," she said. "It wasn't supposed to be like this. Not like this at all. It was supposed to be special." "Run, damn it," I tried to say. "He can't be hurt that badly. Go before he comes back for more." I could only lay there helplessly, looking up at her, unable to move or speak. In her eyes, I saw nothing but concern and compassion. Tenderly, to keep from causing me any more pain, she cupped my bloody face in her warm hands and leaned in close. I forgot all about the asshole in the Mustang, because the only thing on my mind was the woman in front of me. This close, her eyes were even more remarkable than I thought. A brilliant aqua, they seemed to glow with an inner light. Spirit light, the old-timers back in Starkville might have said. "Do you trust me, Dan?" she whispered. Emotion made her voice heavy. I gave the barest of nods, more a twitch than anything. It was all I could manage. She leaned in further and pressed her lips against my own, soft and warm and comforting. A lone tear fell from one of her eyes and splashed on the bridge of my nose. I longed to put my arms around her then, but they wouldn't comply. They just lay there, dead and useless, like those of a mannequin. The world seemed to go completely still for a moment, and I had time to think, there are worse ways to go than during a kiss from a beautiful woman.